Hello again, 欢迎来到 Happy Hour, 英文小酒馆。关注公众号露露的英文小酒馆，加入我们的酒馆社群，邂逅更精彩、更广阔的世界。酒馆的进阶口语课第十三期，七月初就要正式开课了，目前还有最后几个席位，感兴趣的你不要错过了。这个夏天和露露一起，敢开口会开口，告别尬聊，赶快联系小助手报名吧，微信号是 LULUXJG。LULU 就是露露 ,XJG 是小酒馆的汉语拼音首字母。我们在酒馆等你。
Hi everyone, welcome back to your favorite segment, Global Village, 小酒馆大世界。Today we have another guest in our studio from another part of the world, our neighbor, Russia.
今天我们请来了一位俄罗斯小姐姐，她中文超棒，会写诗，是 B 站文化 UP 主，还有一个特别美的中文名字叫唐西兰。
Welcome to the studio, 西兰。
Hello, 大家好。
In the previous episode, we were talking to 西兰 about her hometown, and in today's program, she's going to share with us her experience in China.
Yeah,
this is a question. You know, in China, and I've seen in your videos on Bilibili as well, that you mentioned the idea of 战斗民族. You know that many Chinese, they like to joke about it. They say, oh, Russians,
oh, yes.
they're so tough. I think
oh,、yeah.
this whole idea is not saying Russians are aggressive. It's more like you guys are very tough because you can cope with the harsh climate. I've never even been to、
yeah.
Dongbei in、mm-hmm. China, so I don't think ever really、mm-hmm. experienced extremely cold weather. How cold is the coldest place in Russia? And how do people cope with that、
yeah.
level of climate, especially in winter? Any fun things that you can share?
Yeah, just now you just mentioned that you have never been to the northern part of China, right?、
Mm.
I must say the mentality and the lifestyle is kind、of similar with Russian people. Because I've been living in、there for 1 year, like when I just came, like、when I just come to China,、I've been living there for 1 year. And I must say, even in some sort of way, I thought they're more tough even than Russian people. Like, you know.
东北人比俄罗斯人更加战斗民族。
是是。差不多我感觉。And, you know, after that, like, I must say, like, because of the climate, yeah, it's also affected on our mentality. Like, it's like surviving, you know, you need、to survive through the winter. Even there's a one saying in Russia that before, like in old times, people were saying, okay,if they were planning something on next year, or like after a couple of years, they will say, okay, let's leave、this winter and after we'll see. So there are like worse situations in my country when some people, they couldn't survive winter because they didn't have enough、groceries or like some food or anything. It's also kind of effect on mentality. So that's why most of Russian people maybe will、look aggressive or cold, butActually, it's not the only thing we have. We also can be very happy、and we have a great things. We also...
Very passionate as well.
Yeah, not only like passionate. It's mostly like if we meet new people, we're making friends. We're also like、very kind to them. We never like, okay, I don't know you, so I will not talk、to you or something like that. So yeah, it's a, like stereotypes about Russian people. But that's why maybe the way I'm making videos on my channel andLike trying to go through that comparison between Russian and Chinese culture, I want to tell people that actually Russian people is not the way you thought.
Yeah, that's also why we're doing this particular episode, this particular talk.
Yeah.
Actually, I think for many Chinese, their understanding of Russian, especially if you're talking about what they've learned from books, from some especially masterpieces,、I think...I grew up reading some Russian novels, some of the greatest writers. And Russia is well known、for many art forms like ballet, literature. And you yourself are a poet. I would like to ask, what about nowadays, the young people in Russia? Are they still interested in these considered very highbrow, 比较高大上的这种 art forms? Or are they like、youngsters everywhere else, just more into Douyin and all that?
I must say that there's still people really interested in this, how you say
highbrow.
Highbrow arts. But as for me, I'm kind of like personally, from my opinion, I'm kind of half of that and this like、new generation and old generation. Because when I was born in 95, and that time Russia had a lot of changes in policy, environment, and like people was like, that was really different life of style. So it's also kind of affects on the generation of that time. And as for me, I love literature also because of my father, because he likes to read a lot. And he sometimes also writes poems, like, for himself. It's not like he's a famous poet or like he's sharing his poems everywhere, but from the childhood, he was trying to teach me that I have to read more, I have to learn a lot of things, because it's not just like for showing off or like showing that you're smart. It's just for your own intelligence, like for your own satisfaction. Because in this world, we also like have 物质和非物质的价值观，对吧？
The more spiritual side.
Yeah, like you have to have a spiritual side in your life, except like money, like something material stuff. So in comparing nowadays Russia with, for example, China, I think the lifestyle of young people is kind of similar. Like, we also use TikTok. We all also, like, you know, go and have some fun. Like, there are not too much people really interested in literature or, like, traditional arts. But there's still people who likes to read. So, like, it doesn't matter what you're reading, but still Russian people, they like to read stuff, like different books, even young people. And
yep, definitely.
I think it's a great thing, because if you're not reading, it also affects on you when you, like, being in a society. For example, you can have more, make more friends. Because when you're reading or you trying to learn a lot of things by yourself, you automatically, I think, you're becoming an interesting person that people would like to talk to you, right? Discuss different things.
Definitely.
But if you don't have anything to talk, so I think it's a problem as well.
It's also a way to form your own world and your own perspectives. And I especially love that part that you said, how reading is not just to show off, it's not just to show how well-read you are or how learned you are. It's more for your own satisfaction.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay. Oh, by the way, I was wondering, since you've been writing poetry, poems, are you writing in Chinese or Russian or English?
Usually I'm practicing to write them in all these three languages, like English, Russian and Chinese, because it depends also on the mood. Like sometimes people ask me, like, how can you, today you're writing in Chinese, tomorrow you're writing in Russian, and after tomorrow, like, I don't know, another day in English. And I'm like, I don't know, it's something about the mood and also about the topic, because I believe that poetry is the most difficult thing that you can translate to other languages.
That's true.
It's because you have to understand the culture of each language, you know, the history, the culture of the language. So, for example, in my country, we love to use, like, different sort of expressions. For example, how to, like, love poems, okay? Like, you're writing to someone or you're expressing your love for someone. We used to do it in a very straightforward way and very passionate. But in China, it's different. If you want to say that you love someone, you use different metaphors, like you, like, comparing love to the moon,
more 含蓄,
like, or something else, like,
in a way. Yep.
Yeah, and it's very different. So when now, like, recently, I'm also sometimes I'm doing some translations, even of my own poems. It's like just for practicing. I found out there are a lot of expressions that you cannot translate. There's no the way you can do that. Yeah, you have to actually to take that, like, you know, called in Chinese, 意境, right?
Even the word 意境 is difficult to translate.
Yeah, I would say, like, main idea. You need to take out the main idea of the poem and make another poem in another language from the beginning. You cannot translate. So that's why also, like, sometimes, no, because I'm writing poems in Chinese as well, and I wouldn't say it's very perfect, because I still try to learn more about Chinese culture and Chinese mentality. And maybe sometimes I use expressions that Chinese people wouldn't use in their writing. It's like, it's very different.
Exactly.
But also, I think it's a good thing.
That's a uniqueness.
Because I'm mixing two cultures, like Russian and, yeah, it's a unique thing.
So, as we're coming to the end of our discussion, I just would like to ask you one more thing.
Yeah.
I'm assuming you gave yourself this Chinese name, right? This Tang Xilan.
It's actually one of my Chinese teachers gave me this name. Because when I was studying my bachelor, it's like a few years ago, right? And I think I was a second year student. Yeah, because my bachelor major is Chinese language and literature. So basically, I learned about Chinese literature. And Yeah, I love it. So that time, you know, also I started to write Chinese poems when I was in the second year of bachelor. And because I cannot use my Russian name everywhere. It's like, it's too long and it's hard to remember for people. Like, they don't know, like, what's the name, or like, for example, if they want to search my poems or something, they will never find it because my name is too long.
That's very long.
You know, if you will pronounce it in Chinese, it's going to be like Patalieva Anastasia. So it's kind of like in English, it's like Podereva Anastasia. So yeah, but still. And then I had this teacher, he teached us ancient literature, like Chinese ancient literature, like 古诗词, 宋词唐诗, this kind of thing. And that one day I just like, I came to him, I was asking like, teacher, I wanted to ask you, can you help me please to choose some Chinese name like that describes my character? And because I'm writing poems and I want to use it as a like as a name, writer name. He didn't give me the name directly. He asked, he said like, okay, go and read the books of songs.
Shijing.
Book of songs like Shijing. And then I said, okay, so how do I search? And he said there's some words and names in there, like in poems that describes like the girls' names, like Xilan, right? Chen Xi de Yutou Lanhua, or like something like that. So I was searching and I found a few names, and then like I think I like Xilan.
It is a beautiful name.
This
definitely.
Yeah, I liked it so much. And then I sent to the teacher, I said, okay, teacher, I'm choosing this one. And then he just helped me to put Tang, the surname, together with it. And then he said, like, Tang Xilan. And then I said, like, what does it mean? Like, because I couldn't still get the meaning of the name. And he said, like, 大唐纯熙中的一朵兰花. And I'm like, wow.
That Yi Jing is so beautiful.
It's so, like, poetical. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, the main idea is there.
All right.
So nice.
So, Xilan, it's been lovely talking to you. Hopefully, in the future, we might invite you to the studio again.
Yeah, that's great.
And thank you also so much for clearing up some of the stereotypes, most of them wrong, about Russians.
Yeah. Thank you that you gave me an opportunity to share my ideas with everyone.
All right. And then if you guys, for those of you who are listening to the show, if you guys have been to Russia or if you had interactions with people from Russia, if you have anything to share, please share your comments in the comment section. Thank you, Xilan. Thank you for coming to the studio.
Thank you, everyone.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
那边和温柔知性的俄罗斯小姐姐聊着天，这边酒馆就同步为喜欢体验世界惊喜的你 奉上来自战斗民族的极北台原伏特加 酒质干烈，入口温润， 阿尔法级的纯饮品质会颠覆你对普通调酒用伏特加的种种偏见。原来高品质伏特加如此纯净，是可以不辣嗓子的。现在酒馆限时上新活动，下单即赠霸气鹿头酒嘴和子弹酒杯。关注公众号“露露的英文小酒馆”，打开酒馆铺子，体验来自斯拉夫文化的豪情吧。